From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
I'm Kara Miller. This is Boston Public Radio. Well, it's the sort of title that cities and states and governors tend to be obsessed with, the crown that they all want to wear. So when University of Iowa professors Fred Bemke and Paul Skinner crunched the numbers in a search for the nation's most innovative state, we just had to ask, so who is on top? And joining us now is Fred Bemke, assistant professor of political science at the University of Iowa. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Good to be there.
So let me first ask you, how do you determine what makes a state innovative? What's the kind of data that you're using?
So what we did in our study was we put together a database of 100, almost 200 policies. And for each policy, what we do is we determine the year in which each state adopts that policy. So to give an example, the state started adopting lotteries, at least in the modern era, with New Hampshire in 1964. And then we went through all the other states and figured out what year they adopted a lottery. So Massachusetts does that in 1972, and some states are still doing it into the 1990s.
So the idea of adopting new policies for you runs the gamut. Like you said, lotteries, but it could be seat belts. It could be gay marriage bans. And why focus on what states are first at adopting new policies? What does that tell you about a state?
So as you said, we have this database with many different policies. And the goal here is to try and understand first if some states tend to adopt policies faster than other states. And then once we answer that question, we are hoping to provide some information about which states and why that is, what characteristics of those states lead them to be faster in adopting these policies. So by trying to develop a really wide-ranging set of policies that cover the entire spectrum, that allows us to answer the question in a very general way rather than, for example, more specifically, about a single policy.
Now, somebody like, let's say, the governor of Massachusetts might say, well, now it's great to look at who was first at adopting seatbelts, but I wouldn't be looking at who is first at adopting gay marriage bans. So what would you say to somebody who says, well, some of these indicators seem good, but others of them, I'm not sure that we should be counting them towards innovation?
Absolutely. So it's important to make the distinction that's made in the political science literature, which is that we use the word innovative or innovation to mean a state that has adopted a policy that it didn't have before. This is the definition that we've been using for over 50 years. I don't think that what we want to do is try and impose a judgment about which policies are good or bad. I think that's going to vary a lot across states. So scoring high on a measure like this means that states tend to be adopting these policies faster than other states, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing a better job, because to measure that, you have to take into account what the constituents in that state want, as well as perhaps looking into the details of the policy. We have a very sort of simple abstract measure of whether or not a state has the policy, but of course there's a lot of variation in the content of those policies.
So they're willing to take a chance, they're willing to be at the cutting edge, whereas there might be other states that hold back and see, okay, how do these things work out in other states?
Exactly. I mean, one of the things that we'll want to work on next that has also been studied is why it is that some states go first, and then how it is that other states learn about these policies, and then how they perhaps fine-tune the policy or adapt it to their particular circumstances.
And before we get, again, to the top states and then the states that ranked way at the bottom, I know one of the things that surprised you when you crunched the numbers is that when you look at the whole country, there are, since the Civil War, many waves of innovation that seem to sweep the country. What do those waves of innovation look like? When were they? Where are we now in terms of an innovative time or not so innovative?
So this is one of the things that we found very interesting in our study, and is something that hadn't really been explored in the past. And so I think we're on to something interesting and new here. And since we weren't necessarily expecting it, we're still figuring out what's going on. But what we found is that across these almost 200 policies, going back to almost 1800, if you look at different periods, you know, the Gilded Age, the Progressive Era, The era of new federalism that we're in now, with policies being sent from the federal government to the state government, we see these waves of innovativeness. And so it peaks over a 20- or 30-year period, and then it drops back down, and then it peaks again, and then it drops back down. We think that this is potentially a consequence of a set of ideas coming forward during these different eras and spreading across the states, and then those ideas kind of run their course. Perhaps it's time for some new thinking, and another set of ideas comes along. And so you see these surges as these new policies and ideas spread, and then as we get to the later states that may not be interested or may not be so quick to adopt them, activity dies down, and then you need to sort of refresh the system. Overall, we found, in addition to these waves, a general increase in innovativeness across the states over the last 200 years. That's of course, not terribly surprising, given that state governments have gotten more equipped and there's gotten more policies that they could consider. But over the last almost 30 years now, we've seen a pretty long wave that's been growing up. And that started largely during the Reagan era, as we saw a lot of policies being shifted to the state level. And that's continued to the point where across the states, we see the highest level of innovativeness that we see in our study over a 200-year period. Whether that will continue to increase, or perhaps we're seeing the end of another wave, it's a little bit too early to say.
But you say we may be in this wave that's really of innovativeness that's continued since the 1980s, and that there hasn't been a wave quite this long since right after the Civil War was the last time that there was such a long period of sustained innovation going on in the states.
That's correct. We see a couple of really short ones, for example, right after the Great Depression, where states are trying to do a lot to respond to the circumstances. But this is, by far, the biggest increase in innovativeness, and as you said, one of the longer surges that we've seen in it.
Now, let's get into some of the numbers here. You rank states in different tiers, so you have four tiers of innovativeness. In the fourth tier, the least innovative, there's one state, Mississippi. Now, why is Mississippi alone in that fourth tier of least innovative? What does it tell us about Mississippi as a state?
Well, when we created our measure, we of course are basing those tiers upon a much more specific set of numbers. And so Mississippi's at the bottom, but the difference between it and, say, the states a couple spots ahead of it, like Wyoming and Alabama, aren't necessarily huge. It just happened to fall below a particular threshold. And so we see these groups of states at the top, and then in the middle and at the bottom that have a pretty wide variation in how innovative they are. So the state at the top, for example, California, according to our measure, is over three times as innovative as states like Mississippi and Wyoming.
So it really, that means, so if California is number one and Mississippi is number 50, then you're, it sounds like California is much faster to pick up on new ideas and new trends. And Mississippi, would you say, holds back somewhat more, waits to see if things turn out before they adopt those policies?
Yes, that's exactly what this information shows us. I mean, kind of a rough way to think about it is that, for kind of a typical policy, California, it might take about 10 years to adopt that policy. Whereas a state like Mississippi might take up to 30 years. So there's, like I said, about a three times difference in how quick they are to innovate on these policies. Now, another component of that, of course, is that California, as I think we all know, tends to be a leader in a lot of policies, and so it's often the first state to adopt new policies. And in the second half of the 20th century, it was even more of a leader in that respect than other states. And so some states tend to do things really quickly, and they tend to bring these new policies to other states' attentions. And then, as you said, some states like Mississippi, for example, they take more of a wait-and-see approach. They may also just not be interested in some of the policies that states like California are adopting. So it's not that they're slow. They've just decided that that's not the right policy for them.
Okay, and now where does, on this spectrum, we've got California at number one and Mississippi at the other end, where does Massachusetts fall in terms of innovativeness?
So over about the entire 20th century, Massachusetts comes out number six. number 10 in the entire 20th century. In the first half of the 20th century, it was number 6, and then it dropped down a little bit to 20 in the second half.
Okay, and what kinds of trends have you seen in terms of states either going up the list or down the list? Is there a trend in terms of states in certain parts of the country tend to becoming more innovative and states in other parts are becoming less? What do you see?
Yeah, comparing, say, the first half of the 20th century to the second half, there's quite a bit of fluctuation across the states. A few examples that stick out most noticeably is some of the older, more traditional industrial states like New York, which drops from being the most innovative in the first half of the 20th century to, you know, somewhere around 15 or so in the second half. Pennsylvania also drops almost 20 spots. Michigan drops quite a number of spots. So you see certain states moving down quite a bit, and then, of course, you see other states moving up a bit. And, you know, some of those might include Florida, obviously, which has seen, you know, a lot of changes. Texas moves up a lot. Arizona also moves up quite a bit. California moves up, but it started out pretty high, even in the first half of the 20th century.
So what you see is some of the Sun Belt states, it sounds like, rising up in their ability to innovate.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with changes in, of course, those states, when you're thinking about what they were like back in 1915 compared to where California is today, it's a completely different state. And migration across the country has led to vast changes. And so it's not surprising to see, you know, this sort of fluctuation as population shifts across the country.
Now, what do you make of the fact that Massachusetts, which is clearly not in the Sun Belt, is still so high? You said in the first half of the century, 6. Now we're the 10th most innovative state in the country. Still really pretty high when you look at all the states in total. What does that tell you about Massachusetts?
So looking into the numbers a bit for Massachusetts, one of the things I noticed is that it's been a fairly consistent innovator over a long period of time. It's not always the first state to adopt things. It's not always the last state, but it tends to be, you know, fairly high up the list. And so, you know, comparing across all these policies, what we see is that leads it to be fairly high in the overall list of innovative states. Some states might innovate in one area or in one policy, but then take a long time on others. Massachusetts seems to be pretty consistent. It's also, you know, one of the more likely states to be a leader on policies. We see that over the entire century, on about 10% of the policies that Massachusetts adopted, it was the first state to do that in the entire country. That puts it also about in the top 10 in terms of, you know, slightly different way of thinking about innovativeness. It seems that also may be slowing down a little bit, but it still tends to be relatively high in terms of bringing new policies out.
And you say that, you know, if you look at the states that are in the top 5 states of adopting any policy, that Massachusetts is often willing to jump into that first 5. In fact, the only states that do it more, that are more part of that first 5, are California, New Jersey, and New York.
That's correct.
And
I think a great example of that, of course, was the healthcare legislation that was passed a few years ago, where you see Massachusetts taking a very prominent leadership role on a policy. Now, obviously, that one didn't diffuse quite the same way as other policies, but, you know, it's very apparent that Massachusetts' leadership on that led to, you know, a big change in overall health policy in the country.
And it's amazing when you look back since, let's say, 1800, and you look at the kinds of laws that Massachusetts has been first on and that now are so common. You sent me a list, and I'll read a few of them that really struck me. These were the ones where Massachusetts was the very first state. These laws did not exist anywhere else. And then I'll ask you what you make of this. But this is going back to 1850. Compulsory school attendance, a welfare agency, a tax commission, a board of health, a labor agency, probation laws, a highway agency, the first state to have slaughterhouse inspection, the first state to provide aid to dependent children, which is now part of Social Security, and aid to the blind, and aid to people who are elderly, fair housing. Then you get up into the 60s, 70s, 80s, first state to say when you ride a motorcycle, you have to have a helmet. The first state to say when you have a kid in your car, they have to have a seatbelt. So, you know, Massachusetts has been on the vanguard of a lot of things that now we think of as very common policies.
That's very clear from the list of policies that you read. I mean, it's a very impressive set of policies, and clearly indicates a pretty high degree of policy leadership in areas. You know, these are policies that clearly benefit a lot of people. A lot of them relate to the social safety net. You know, I think Massachusetts is known still for providing that kind of support and assistance. You know, you compare these to some of the other policies, which might be about, you know, election laws, you know, providing voter ID and things like that. You know, the laws that you gave are kind of big laws that really help provide the foundation upon which the social safety net is built, as well as the kind of infrastructure and stuff that states need to be successful.
And Fred Bemke, do you plan to update this every year, to look every year at what is the most innovative state and how this dynamic changes over time?
Well, I think we're hoping to come back to this in a few years and make those sort of updates. I don't know that we'll be doing it every year, but our hope certainly, you know, is to get some support and to expand our policy database. One of the hopes would be to try and make some more precise statements about innovativeness in specific policy areas, so healthcare, you know, financial regulation, those kinds of education, to see if we can make more specific statements. But to do that, we'd have to have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of policies.
We've been looking at what it takes to be considered one of the most innovative states, and I've been speaking with Fred Bemke, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Iowa. Fred Bemke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, he was born 100 years ago, a native of North Cambridge, and he became one of our most notable and beloved politicians. And I'm talking, of course, about Tip O'Neill. How did he shape politics? What would he make out of today's D.C. dynamics? Kelly Crossley will bring you that story. I'm Kara Miller, and you're listening to Boston Public Radio.